Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning's episode is entitled, The Role of the Good Shepherd in the Cosmic System. I'm going to be reading from John chapter 9 and also John chapter 10. John chapter 9 provides the background for the allegory of the Good Shepherd that is presented in John chapter 10. It's a very interesting account of a miraculous healing performed by Jesus on an individual who was born blind, and the controversy that ensued around his healing on the part of the Pharisees, and the skepticism on the part of the people in general with regard to this individual. And so it is very interesting the way that it is presented to us, the framework in which it is given. It's very powerful, memorable, and moving, and provides us an understanding as to the social controversy about the ministry or the public ministry of the Asif and who ignited and inflamed the opposition against him. And it was most certainly the intrinsic religious establishment. And they feared for their place in society and their power structure. They wanted this to remain intact. They benefited enormously from the status quo. And so here comes the Jesus, and he is threatening their power base. And so they need to have people oppose him and to be against him. And it is very interesting that what goes on. And so I'm going to be reading, I'm going to start from John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the force of the cosmos. I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. He said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation, sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes and washed, and you see. Notice the language. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes and washed, and you see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? There was a division among them. They said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And he asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? Now, this man has been in your community a number of years. And notice the personalization, the objectification of the event. They cannot fit this event into their common matrix, into their environment. They have to find a way to explain what is obvious. But notice the thinking, the cognitive dissonance that is going on. Now, there has been no criminal act. There has been nothing to cause such adversity except the reality of this man's healing. And on the Sabbath day, now, the aged had not violated the Sabbath. What he had violated were the peculiar laws that had been set in place by rabbinic Judaism, not the teaching of Moses. So there was a controversy or division among them. They said unto the blind man, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. Verse 19, he asked him, saying, that is speaking of the parents. And he asked them, that is the parents of the man who had been healed, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. So notice the pressure, the social pressure, and the parents understand what is going on, and they're not going to get involved with this situation. They're not going to present any testimony to defend their son. They won't do it. Then again called they the man that was born blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Speaking of the case, the word in the Greek is hamartos. And hamartos in the Greek and in English is an adjective. So we know that an adjective is descriptive or describes a noun. But we have only an adjective. This particular individual pointing out the special case of who he is, this man, we know that this man is a sinner. So this is their estimation of the character and presence of Christ. This is what they want the people at large to believe about him. This is the Jesus is the builder. He is the builder that was rejected by the builders. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 2, this is what we have, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which do disobedient. Oh, okay. The stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner. And so, notice what Peter said. But unto them which do disobedient, that is, those who reject the counsel of God about their condition. The very serious nature of rejecting this moment of salvation history, the Hilfsgeschichte, the presence of God in the person of Jesus Christ, the Theanthropos, the God-man, not looking at the evidence for the incarnation. John chapter 1, the one who, the Logos, who pitched his tent to dwell among us, that is, the tent or the veil of his flesh. God in the flesh. So the Almighty One who called forth the universe into existence through his word. The Almighty One who holds the universe in place. The one who through his word created mass energy. And mass has been defined as a standing wave function imposed upon void. This one, is the one whom they have rejected. This is the one whom they have rejected. Peter goes on, verse 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Or a scandalon, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, or until also they were appointed. the God makes the wrath of man to praise him. God makes the wrath of man to praise him. And so they have rejected the builder, that is, Jesus himself. The ritual of questioning, the interrogation, the interrogatives that are designed to malign and call into question the evidence before them. So, verse 24, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then they said unto him again, what did he do to thee? Again, the interrogation goes on. How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciple? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. Which they were not. If they were the disciples of Moses, they would recognize Yeshua HaMashiach. They would recognize Jesus the Messiah. They would recognize the Messianic scriptures. They would understand Isaiah and many Messianic references to the servant, concerning the servant of Yahweh. They would know, and they would have at their disposal Micah, prophecy of Micah, about where the Messiah would be born. They would understand Jeremiah 31. They would understand these great verses. In John 3, there's a great conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus, who came to him by night in order to investigate the Messiah. We know, verse 29, that God spake unto Moses, but as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he heareth him. Since the world began, was it not heard that a man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. The answer said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? Now we see the arrogance coupled with the disobedience. We see the hubris that will not bow to the authority of God, and they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, the Son of Man had come to seek and save that which was lost, that which was destroyed. Literally, apollina, that which was lost, that which was ruined. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was ruined. Jesus heard, verse 35, that that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he asked and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe that he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into the cosmos, that they which see might not see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If you were blind to your own ambitions, that's my addition, if you were blind, you should have no sin. And now the ones who hurl accusations of sin and those who, in verse 34, call the Jesus a sinner, the Jesus says that you are definitely in sin. Verse 30 to 41, Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. And so by their own testimony, they have condemned themselves. They have walked into the net and sprung the trap that they had laid. They have entrapped themselves through their own actions and their own words. Their convoluted reasoning has come back upon them, wanting to find a way to destroy the obvious evidence of the miraculous healing of this man, wanting to take away the beauty and the joy, the hope of this man's healing. And so, naturally, when we go into John chapter 10, when Jesus speaks of himself as the good shepherd, we see that this is the background for this great teaching. This is the background. And in Ezekiel 35, long, long ago, God talks about the shepherds and what they did to the people of God and how abusive they were towards the people of God. This is Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, verse 1 reads, The word of the Lord came to me, so the man prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, This is what the sovereign Lord said. Woe, and so a war horn. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not the shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. And in John chapter 9, we have evidence of this very prophecy. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. You see, the reality of this prophecy during the ministry, the public ministry of the Jesus, do you see how dismissive and how callous and how narrow-minded the focus is of the leadership? Do you see the pressure? Do you see the rejection? The Son of Man had come to seek and save that which was lost. And he heals this man who was blind from birth. And the accusation that is launched against Jesus is that he is a sinner. This man is not of God. He healed on the Sabbath, and so he is in violation of the law of Moses. He didn't know such thing. But the powerful rhetoric, coupled with the power of the Pharisees, created rancor among the people. And this man, who was cast out of the synagogue, who was cast out of the formal religious structure, now belongs to the sheep, his representative of the gathered in, those who are gathered in. It's interesting that in verse 4, you read, you have not brought back the driven away. You have not brought back the driven away. Interesting, is it not? So, verse 5, they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd and so has been plundered, it has become food for all the wild animals. And because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock, therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. So, in John chapter 10, Jesus presents the great allegory of the Good Shepherd. And he begins verse 1 by saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a klepto, or a kleptes, and a robber. Or the same is a thief and a robber. Thief, or the term thief means one who steals by fraud and in secret. And this word in the Greek, kleptes, is from the word from which we get our word, klepto. He goes on, and he talks about the robber. And the robber is one who deprives another of his property openly and by violence. Barabbas was a robber. In John 18:40. Judas was a thief, and we read about him. So the word shepherd, as used in our text, is from the root, or the root of the word shepherd means to protect, or one who protects. And so when Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd, he speaks of himself as constitutionally good, as intrinsically good, or I alone, or he alone, the contradistinction to all others, is the Good Shepherd. He will go into this allegory in order to present a wonderful picture of his saving activity among those who are his own, and his relationship with them. It is a powerful picture, and it presents us with wonderful information about who we are to God. He is the poor man. He is the Good Shepherd. He is our shepherd, the one who protects us in the cosmic system. He shepherds our hearts. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. I will speak with you next time on the next podcast. Have a wonderful day.